Again, get your Bibles out tonight. Right before service, I was getting ready to print all my stuff. Tonight, I actually have a handout. Don't usually have a handout. As Pastor Hugh would say, everyone's looking for a handout. So, I have a handout at the end of the service. And was just getting ready, and I was here, I don't know, it was maybe a half hour, 40 minutes before service started. All of a sudden, the whole building flickered for a moment, just like a second. Enough to make our copier say, "I'm done. I don't want to do that." So had a quick reroute everything up to the office copier or printer. If you've ever tried to use that or make any copies on that, I do apologize. And so you understand, slightly on edge tonight. Proverbs chapter 13. To grab two passages: Proverbs 13, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I love technology. I love the tool and the ability that it gives us. You can communicate with people all over the world in a second. People are watching online right now. You can type things, print things. I despise it when it doesn't work. And so there you are. Probably feeling you probably have wrestled with a printer before, and so on and so forth. Proverbs chapter 13. Hopefully, found that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We're going to read two quick passages. And then we'll actually be going to Psalm chapter number 1. As promised, Jacob, we'll be talking about relationships tonight. And are you excited about that? Do you have a notebook? No notebook. All right. It'll be online. You can watch it later. Told Jacob this morning the will of God concerning relationships. Proverbs chapter number 13, verse 20, it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 14. It says this: "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Those are a lot of questions. Questions that God asks the Christian, the believer. "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the church house to be able to meet in. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us here. God, I thank you for these that are here. And Lord, just people being here tonight tells us that there's a desire to hear your word preached. And Lord, I pray you move me out of the side, move me aside. And Holy Spirit of God, that you would use these, this message that you've laid on my heart here tonight to help strengthen and guide and direct not just our young people, but for everybody here tonight. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As I told you this morning, tonight's message will be one of the most tested truths of the Scriptures. Say, how so? We're talking about relationships. Relationships are the humanity side of life. And I'll tell you this, and I've, again, been saved for, told you this morning, 33 years now. Worked with our young adults starting, I think, in 2002 up until a couple years ago. And everyone thinks they're the exception to this. Everyone thinks... And that is why this is one of the most contested or tested truths of the Scriptures. Everyone thinks, I don't have to do this, and yet I can still be right. And God says, man, I got some principles here for you that it goes really great if you follow, and I promise you it's going to be disastrous if you don't. And everybody looks at this and goes, no. You don't know my guy. You don't know my girl. You don't know my friend. You don't know my boss. You don't know. And we try and try and try. And young person tries and tries to prove the Scriptures wrong. And if you could prove the Scriptures wrong, then God's a liar. But we can't prove the Scriptures wrong. We can't prove God wrong. There are the things with the promises of God, there are no exceptions. It's like salvation. It would be like us getting to the end. We die without accepting Jesus Christ. And then we say, you know what? You were right. I was wrong. I would like to change that. I'm sorry. It's too late. No, make an exception. There are no exceptions. because God's promises are true. And we approach relationships as, well, this is kind of gray area. God's not as strict as, oh, we'll see. We'll see what it says. I want to be a help to you tonight. We have 3 points. Most times, I try and keep it positive. But tonight, the points are 3 don'ts. Psalm chapter number 1. I guess we could turn it to a positive, do this or whatever, but tonight it's don't. Do not. I told you I love technology. I love, I type the word don't in my messages, and you would think it would immediately recognize that I'm trying to spell the word don't and put the apostrophe. It just underlines it and tells it you'd misspelled it wrong. No kidding, but you would have thought autocorrect would. Anyways, Psalm chapter number 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There is a progression here that has got to draw our attention. Jacob, attention. Caleb, pay attention. Not that you're not. I'm telling you, though, there is a progression here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This will take a Christian that wants to do right and put them on a path very far from God's will if we do not heed Psalm 1:1. This will take a young lady who endeavors to serve the Lord with her life and is sensitive to the things of God and is attentive in church and pays attention in Sunday school and is open to God's leading and will pull them to a direction where they are bittered against their parents, don't want to have anything to do with church. Why? Because they did not heed the warning of Psalm chapter 1. Walking, number 1, in the counsel of the ungodly. This is following the advice of the ungodly. Listen, there is a group of people here, not here, there are a group of people out there that do not believe this book and are verbally and adamantly opposed to it and have no problem speaking against it. Do not follow the advice of those that are contrary to the Word of God. Do not. Hey, listen, we have access to a wealth of good information. But with a wealth of good information comes a overabundance of bad information. And there are people that speak sharply and sound smart and are quick and witty and are contrary to the Word of God, and if you listen to it too long, you will begin to think that way. You will listen to false counsel, and all of a sudden it will become your thinking. This will, I promise you, God promises you, this will lead you away from the Lord. We think we can handle it. Then if we can handle it, why did He warn us? Caleb, do you know how many Psalms there are? Do you know how many Psalms are in your Bible? 150. Right? Okay, good. Yeah. So I had to think for a second. 150 Psalms. The beginning of the biggest book of your Bible. It is a warning. There's two ways, he says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Say, what kind of counsel would the ungodly give you? Anything that's contrary to the Word of God. It's going to try, the world is going to try and convince you that from the very beginning, it isn't right all the way to the very end. Let me tell you how the world really started. You don't want to believe, and it'll tear down your faith from the beginning. And then it'll say, let me explain to you how it's really going to end. And everything in between relationships, between finance, between personal purity, do not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. It will lead you from the Lord. Listen, lost people can give good advice. Don't get me wrong. And they can give good counsel, just as long as it is not contrary to the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? If there's counsel that comes and it goes against the principles of the Word of God, throw that thing away. It's not worth it. Because this will begin a progression in your life. The Bible warns us, do not associate with what? Counsel of the ungodly. It says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, do not stand in the way of sinners. This is a wrong relationship between believers and non-believers. To stand means to linger. How many of you know, do you know what the word linger means? It means to stand around, loitering. Ever see the signs, no loitering? As a young person, what does that mean? It means don't stand around with nothing to do. Bible says this, do not stand, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Hey, there's a pathway that, in which the lost go back and forth. It's kind of like Lot, right? I just want to stand by and just watch it all go. Do not stand there. Don't stand near that. Why? Because eventually you're going to be in that path. This is a progression. Do not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. This goes beyond a friendship, but this goes into buying into the sinful lifestyle. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 4. Hold your hand in Psalm chapter 1. Pastor, you seem a little fired up about this thought. I've seen this played out about 1,000 times. If once. Right? I've seen a lot of young people that I love and care for, and I've stood at the warning gates, please do not go down this path. Please do not listen to that. They're saying things that are contrary to the Word of God. Don't, no, and that everyone thought, I can handle it, Pastor. And it breaks my heart. And if it breaks my heart, I can only imagine what God thinks. Because there's many a young people that were in the Sunday school classes, and there were many a young people that sat there and were sitting in these seats listening to the preaching of the Word of God and were attentive at one point, and all of a sudden there was a friendship, there was a relationship there, that all of a sudden there was bad counsel, and all of a sudden there was a lingering, there was a standing, and the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 4, look at verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. You know what that says? Do not stand in the way of sinners. Don't. Don't linger there. Don't stay there, because it will not be long before you join in. And the lifestyle and the attitude. Say, what kind of lifestyles? Oh, the obvious ones of cursing? Taking the Lord's name in vain? I'm seeing Christians say things that ought not to be. Substance abuse? I think one of my favorite class is Sunday school. I love all our Sunday school classes, don't get me wrong. But I love that fifth and sixth grade, Jay. You go in there and they are on fire for the Lord. It's real to them. Not that the third and fourth and first and second and the kindergartners and the pre-K don't love Jesus. I'm not saying that. But there's a little bit more knowledge there in that older group. And you go in and say, who wants to give their life to the Lord? Boom! All their hands. They all love it. They all love Jesus, and they would do anything for Him. And it's not there's a short period of time when getting involved with things and being around a lifestyle that all of a sudden there becomes an unfaithfulness, a cursing, a substance abuse, unfaithful to church, unfaithful to good things. There's an attitude of criticism. Where did that come from? Non-believers. I don't know what you're listening to. But when we listen to counsel that is contrary to the Word of God, those are the things that show up. Gossip. Unthankfulness. How about this? A lack of appreciation for the Word of God and the blessings of God. The lost don't care about that. They'll actually downplay. You are wasting your time reading your Bible. A direct attack on your faith. Say, how does that happen? By standing in the way of sinners. Go back to Psalm chapter number 1. The third progression. Look at this. We know this verse. We could probably quote it. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do not associate. Do not stand in the way of sinners. Do not, thirdly, look at the next progression. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is far beyond just participating in crude and non-believing lifestyle. This is sitting in the seat of the scornful. This is mocking God and His values. Say, how did that happen for a little 12-year-old girl that loved Jesus and wanted to go to the mission field? How does she now despise everything about her faith? Because she's seated in the seat of the scornful. How did that happen? Listen to ungodly counsel. Stood in the way of sinners. And now is spending time with those that make fun of God and Christian values. The more time you spend with a person, the more time you become like that person. You know that, right? That's why people are a little weird that spend a little too much time with their animals. Ever see the people that look like their animals? All right, never mind. Are the Humvees watching? All right, good. So what can you do? Well, preventative maintenance. Fellowship with God in prayer. Fellowship with God in His Word. Go back to Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not. Don't start that path. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. There's the fellowship of God in our prayer time. Fellowship with God in our word, in His Word. I'm telling you, a Christian that is faithful to reading their Bible diligently and studying and thinking about it and praying is going to be a lot more alarmed when Psalm 1:1 shows up in their life. I had a really bad sore throat a couple days ago. It was the sore throat, like when you swallow, it felt like knives. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know, Mrs. Audrey, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ugh, it's awful. I was drinking honey lemon water like it was my job, and Sarah's Googling stuff because she was tired of hearing me complain. I'm not a good sick person. Not a good sick person. She's like, here, do this, do that. We're buying Cool Mist vaporizers, anything to get Nick to stop complaining. And she's like, it says if you gargle with apple cider vinegar. I was ready. I was ready to do. If it said gargle with toilet water, all right, I'm doing it. I don't. If that helps. So I poured the apple cider vinegar, and man, I got it about here, and I was like, all I could think of was Easter eggs. That's all I smelled, and I'm like, I Sarah's in the other room. I'm like, I can't do this. She goes, well, put some water in it. I said, okay. So I cut it to 50% water, 50%. I got it to about here. I'm I said, no, there's got to be something else. It's so just contrary. It's just so alarming. When we're steeped in fellowship with God and His Word and prayer, that ungodly counsel comes. It's like the apple cider vinegar. Oh, please, It's repulsive. But I'm telling you, you start getting out of the Bible, you start getting out of your prayer time, you stop coming and hearing the preached word of God, you start listening to ungodly counsel. Say, how does ungodly counsel, I'm not listening to the podcast, you listen to ungodly music is ungodly counsel. It's going to start directing your mind to a way. It's going to start making you think that bad things are, and God isn't true, and it, you start thinking about those things. Man, it's amazing that, and then all of a sudden you find yourself standing in the way, and then all of a sudden you're seated in the seat of the scornful, and out of your own mouth are coming things that are contrary to something that you would at one point would have died for. Say, what happened? The progression happened. There was a relationship there. Preventative maintenance. You know what? Sharing your faith with the lost who are seeking the Lord, that'll help. That'll help you. It is important to be a bold witness and tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's okay to have acquaintances, and we'll talk about this at the end. It's okay to have acquaintances with lost people who are seeking God. You may be that bridge to help them get and follow or find the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, don't associate. Number two, don't join together with non-believers. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6, verse 14. Being not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So what'd you do with the mouthwash? I feel like I don't finish the stories. I went with warm salt water. That was a little more palatable. Not enjoyable, but still palatable. And sore throat went away after a short period of time. Thank you for your concern. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Being not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Sometimes giving instruction to my children, I say the same thing, but say it differently multiple times. To just throw a barrage of information, pretty much the same thing, just packaged in a bunch of different ways. That's what we're about to read here. It's pretty much being out unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then there's going to come a barrage of questions. Lest we try and squirm out of this or justify our actions. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It's saying the same thing. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do not join together with non-believers. Do not have very close friends as non-believers. Do not marry a lost person. Do not go into business with a lost person. Say, why not? Because you're going to have different goals. Eventually, there's going to come a conflict. Deuteronomy chapter 22, it says this. Chapter 22 and verse 8. It says, part of the law was this. Do not yoke up an ox and a donkey together. Why is that? Because I'll tell you why. Because the same reason 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 is in there. It doesn't work. Have you seen an ox? Have you seen a donkey? Different sizes, different strengths. I'll tell you what will happen. Your farm will be a circle. Because one is much stronger than the other. What happens when we yoke up with unbelievers? We'll just walk around in circles. We will not go forward for the Lord. Amos 3:3 asks this question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can they? No. Jacob, Benjamin, can I borrow you for a second? Are you available? Yes? You're about the same size. That's why I'm picking on you, okay? Hold, please. Jacob's like, what is that? Can you stand right here? Are you familiar with the three-legged race? Benjamin, come here. This is why you sit up front. You look nice tonight. Okay. Okay, put your legs together. All right, I'm going to try and tie you up. I might be able to get around twice. I don't want you to trip. Well, okay, yeah, I don't want you to trip. Okay, are you familiar? So, are you familiar with the three-legged race? Okay, so I want you two to walk together, because how can two walk together except they be agreed? Figure out where you're going and get to that place. Okay, so talk about where you're going to go. Okay, all right. Very excellent. Wonderful. Excellent. Thank you. Great. Can you come back? Can you come back? Pros. Okay, turn around, face that way. They went where they wanted to because they both wanted to get to the same place. Now, I really appreciate you, Benjamin, but I'm going to have you sit down for a second. Do you have another brother? Are you familiar with the three-legged race?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like I could get more loops on this one. My question is, say Nathaniel wants to go this way and Jacob wants to go that way. Hold on, don't go anywhere. Just hold still. Just look that way. Face forward. What's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Nathaniel's going to go this way. And this is exactly what happens in a relationship. When we're agreed, when we have the Word of God, when God is the center, the principles and the fundamentals and the promises of God are at the root of it. We have great friendships. We have great marriages. We have great business. But when we have different goals, the stronger will pull the other. And there will be always contention. Always. It was a lot easier, I promise, for Jacob, even though, no offense to Nathaniel, Jacob should be able to physically handle him. Jacob would sure like to be paired up with him. Even though he could pull him, there's going to be contention every step he takes. And when we get in a relationship with somebody that doesn't believe what the Scripture says, we are yoking up with someone that doesn't want to walk where we want to walk. Where doesn't want to walk where God says to walk. And what is there? There's going to be conflict. I kind of want to see it play out, but for sake of angles, Nathaniel, you said no? No, okay, all right. Thank you. I appreciate your help. Jacob was hoping I would yoke him up with somebody else. Never mind. Okay, well, that's a different class. Don't join together with non-believers. Your closest friends ought to be that of Christians. Your spouse. Your business partner. Why? Because God says so. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Thirdly, don't join together with non-believers. Thirdly, don't isolate yourself. We said this morning. Don't withdraw yourself completely from the world. God will give you wisdom in seeking relationships. Now we have to ask him. Let's look at the example of Christ. Christ's closest friends, we could say, were pretty much believers. Peter, James, John, believers. But he did spend time with unsaved too. Look at Luke chapter number 7. As Christians, our job is not to, again, as I said this morning, not to build a bunker and hide from all external people. So all that we have by a commune together with fellow believers and have no dealing. No, we still live in the world. Luke chapter 7 and verse 34, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Look at Mark chapter number 2. Speaking of Jesus, who did he spend the most amount of time with? Well, the disciples. But he would interact with others. Spent time with many unsaved, actually. Mark chapter number 2, in verse 13, it says, and he went forth by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that, as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners. Why? Because that's what Levi was. Levi was a publican, tax collector. And he met Jesus and he invited all his closest. So here's Jesus with Matthew sitting at Matthew's house, surrounded by publicans and sinners, sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. And there were many, and they, look at this now, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto him, sent unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And Jesus heard it, and he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There were some seeking him. That's how we should approach it too. The girls this morning sang, Charity, was it this morning that you sang that flame song? Yes. Man, I like that. That was great. I thought it was going to be a little, not silly, but a little lighter, but it was a much more serious song than I anticipated. Matthew chapter 5 reminds us that we're the light of the world. We're to take the light of Christ. And if there's some that are looking for truth, as we spoke of this morning, we ought to accommodate that. We ought to be friendly. We ought to be kind. So we don't isolate ourselves, but be careful. Be careful who's pulling who. Be careful when we make that association and friendship that it's not a scorner, but a seeker. There's a big difference. It's tough to shine the light of the world if we isolate ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're almost done. (Clears throat) 1 Corinthians 5. I wrote unto you in the epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with covetous or extortioners or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. Hey, it says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. But we're still in that world. Well, we still, that's still around us. We're still the light to that. Aren't you glad someone came by your way when you were lost and said, hey, let me help you get to Christ? God forbid if we were at some point in a lost state, pulling a Christian away from Christ. I'm asking you tonight, whose pull is stronger? 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It is imperative that you pick right relationships. And there's a degree. Your closest ought to be the ones that agree with the Word of God. Not that we don't have associations, but those associations, again, are purposed to find someone that's looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can be the bridge to get them to Christ. Let's be careful with that. Everyone wants and needs friends, at least healthy friends. I printed up a little handout for you. I don't know. I think more people are here than I expected. But maybe it's something that you can take home. It's a little form. I like forms like this. It's just an Excel sheet. And at the top it says, who are your five closest friends? And you list them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then mark off, are they believer or non-believer? And then there's another box. Are they seeking the Lord or are they scorning? And then there's a last box here, action to be taken. Then down here, a spot for three casual friends. Are they a believer or non-believer? You write their names down, and this is for you, but to maybe help evaluate. Are they a believer or non-believer? Are they seeking the Lord or are they scorning? And then maybe there's an action that needs to be taken. I want to make these available to you tonight, and nothing special. It's not copyrighted, and I mean, you're not going to... But the purpose of it is to just be a help. To just maybe for a moment evaluate in your own life, what influence am I allowing? What influence am I being? Again, this will be one of the most contested or tested truths of the Scriptures, relationships. Because we all think we're the exception. I can handle. I'm going to lead him to the Lord. I'm going to bring him. And that's great. I think you should. But be careful what level that relationship is. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 is in there on purpose. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sinneth in the seat of the scornful. Let's all stand. Tonight's invitation is this. I'm going to ask you to just be honest with yourself. And with an uplifted hand, nobody looking around, say, there's some associations in my life that are way too close that ought not to be. And I need to take a stronger stand for Christ in that. Does anybody have any relationships like that here tonight? Uplifted hand. Sure. All right. Maybe you want to come. Maybe the relationship is this. I'm yoked up with someone on purpose trying to bring them to Christ. In a moment, the music's going to play. Maybe you want to just come and pray for that one. Young person, maybe the decision tonight is this. I'm going to be really careful with who I pick to spend the rest of my life with. Hey, the best time to make that decision is before that face has a name. It's a lot easier now. Maybe it's a commitment between you and God. God, I want to pick right in that. I want to pick right in my closest friends. I want to pick right in my business partners. That we have the same direction. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd bless this time of invitation now. Lord, I pray that the things that were said here, trying to be a help and encouragement. God, we know that we're to be light to this world. But we also need to be guarded and protected too. And Lord, help us to see that balance. Help us to see where that line is. Lord, help us to be the stronger one pulling the other. God, I pray that you give us wisdom here. Bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name. And as the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?